Today, Shem Masechet Sukkah, Daf Yud Dalet. We will begin on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, 17 lines from the bottom. Name of the Rav Nasha Bagad the Tanoihi. In our previous year, we had begun a discussion about Yodos. That when we speak about Hilchos Tumah, that not only the actual item that we're discussing has become Tamei, but there are Yodos LaTumah, things that connect to the Tumah, things that are handles to the Tumah, and that they too have the halacha, they can bring tumah, and they connect it. And the question that we discussed was, is yodos l'schach, if we're using different items for schach, are the yodos of those items also going to be considered schach? And we learned the opinion of Rav Nasha Bagada Rav Huna, ha-koitz l'schach, if we cut something to use for schach, ein lo yodos, there is no halacha of yodos. Begins the Gemara by suggesting Neima that this halacha that Rav Nasha Bagada taught us actually tanoihi is a machlokes tanoim. The Tanya, as the Braisa discusses different objects that one would perhaps use for schach, soichei ta'enim, fig branches with figs on them, soichei ta'enim bem ta'enim, fig branches with figs on them. Pachile ubehem anovim, vines that have grapes on them, kashim ubehem shibolim, straw that has grain in them, machpedais ubehem tamarim, brooms of palms that have dates in them, kulon. Not a question on these various objects that we just identified. The question is, can they be used for schach or can they not be used to schach? Because the waste material, the portion that's not used, can be used for schach. Oichlin, food, which is, we know, royal kabel tumah, food is susceptible to tumah, and therefore anything that can be makabel tumah cannot be used for schach. So now the question is, when we look at these objects, how do we determine if they're usable for schach or not? So says the Gemara, kulam, says the Braisa, kulam psoilus merubim al oichlin, if there's more waste than food, ksheira. So we have mostly something that can be used for schach, and since we have mostly things that could be used for schach, the halacha is that they're kosher for schach. Memlav, but if that is not the case, the halacha is psulas, they can't be used for schach. And what we're learning here is that we look at the roiv, and if the roiv is something that's usable for schach, then it's fine. If the roiv is something which is not usable for schach, then it can't be used for schach. So the way the Meiri explains that when we speak about roiv and miyat here, the Meiri says that the roiv that can be used for schach is not just that there's more kosher material than non-kosher material. The Meiri explains that what the Gemara means to say is that there is enough kosher material for schach, and therefore, since we have two factors to take into consideration, number one, the amount of material that's not usable for schach is the miut, is the lesser amount. Plus, it's the amount that can be used for schach is the roiv. So if we combine both of those considerations, that's when you could use this for schach. There are others that disagree. And they say that even if you have enough of, as long as you have roiv kosher schach, then even though you need the miyut, then the halacha is that it's fine. The Brichas Or Sameach wants to suggest that the difference is that if you want to use the non-kosher material for schach, then it's a problem. If not, so that's what the case is. That here, that's what the opinion of the Tanakhama says. Continues the Braisa, Acherim Oimrim, Achi Kashim Rubin Al Yodos Val Oichlin. When we look into determining what is the roiv and what is the miut, we don't only look at the oichel, which is obviously not usable for schach, but we look at the yodos as well. So suggest the Gemara, my love, what is the machloikus between the Tanakama and Acherim? The Ma'asav Yeshlan Yodos. The Acherim say that the yodos are also included in the schach, and therefore, even produce which is used for schach, the concept of yodos is taken into consideration. That's the opinion of Rav of the Achirim. Umasava, whereas the opinion of the Tanakhama is ein lan yodos. We don't take that part into consideration. There are no yodos when we speak about schach. So now the question is, how does the Gemara? How do we relate this to what we learned in our previous year? Says the Gemara, L'Rabbi Abba, according to Rabbi Abba, who said that only by grapes, which are harvested to be, which were harvested for making wine, then there's no din of yodos. But Rabbi Abba said, when we cut grain for schach, there is an opinion, there is yodos. The only way to explain Rabbi Abba's opinion is to say that Rabbi Abba holds like the Achirim. However, the Gemara's question is, Rabbi Nashe Abba, who said that when we cut grain for schach, there is no concept of yodos. Is he have to hold like the Tanakhama, or is there a way to reconcile Rabbi Nashi's opinion even with Achirim? At first glance, it seems that he agrees with the Tanakhama. But the Gemara is suggesting that there may be a way to have him be able to work, even to be able to be consistent even with the opinion of Achirim. The Gemara explains itself. Amlach Rav Nashe. Says Rav Nashe, the Kulam Yisavri, everybody is really going to hold HaKoitz L'Schach, if you cut the grain. And the purpose of cutting the grain was for Schach Ein La Yodis, the Arnold Din of Yodis. Vach Rav Maiskinim. How will we understand this brisa? When you cut the grain, says Rav Nashe, the brisa is talking about a case, Kigon Shekotson L'Chila. You cut them because you wanted to eat the grain. And then, V'nim, Nimlach L'Sikach, and then you change the mind and you want to use it for Schach. The Tanakhama holds that there is no din of Yodis, because by Schach there is no din of Yodis. And the Achirim hold that there is a din of Yodis, since it originally started being cut for Achila, it keeps that halacha, even though it's no longer going to be used for Achila. Ask the Gemara if that's the way we're interpreting the Braisa, that the Braisa is talking about a case that you cut them for Achila. Ask the Gemara, he cuts on Achila, my tamay the Rabbanon. How can we understand the Rabbanon? If I cut it L'Achila, as we said in yesterday's shir, everybody agrees that when you cut grain for Achila, there is a concept of Yodos. If everybody agrees that when you cut grain for Achila, there's a concept of Yodos, so that should remain, even though I changed my mind that I want to use it for Schach. So, says the Gemara, what would you suggest? The Chitaim Kasavri Rabbanon, you're going to suggest that the Rabbanon are of the opinion, the Kivan the Nimlach Alein L'Sichach, since now you change your mind and you want to use this grain for Schach, but Lei Machshavtoi, your original decision that it should be used for Achila and therefore have Yodis falls away. Ask the Gemara, Mi Batle Lei Machshav Bahachi, is that the way that it could fall away? And as Rashi explains, even though it became Yodis through my Machshava, it cannot lose that designation with just a different Machshava, as we're going to learn. Vatanan, because we learned, the Mishnah teaches us, Kol HaGelim, Yodim LeTuma Machshava. Anything comes susceptible to Tuma just with Machshava alone. So in other words, the example that's used is, let's say you have a piece of leather, and you could use the piece of leather as a mat, or you could use the piece of leather to make shoes. So if you decided to use this piece of leather for a mat, so as soon as it has the ability to be a mat, it's a keli, and it's makabel tuma. And then you decided, no, I want to use this piece of leather for shoes. The halacha is, Yodnul de tuma machshava. As soon as you had a machshava that you're going to use this for a mat, it's a keli that's makabel tuma. However, vein oil mitumasam, it doesn't lose that status. Ela b'shen maisa. If you want to change the status, the only way you could do so is by doing some physical change. Just saying, now I want to use this piece of leather for shoes would not be enough. I would have to start cutting it. And when I'm cutting it and showing that I now want to use it for shoes, that's when it's not going to be any more considered a keli. Four says the Mishnah, Maisa Moitz Midei Maisa, an act undo another act, and miyad machshava, and an act can certainly undo a machshava. However, machshava, a different machshava than I had originally, ein mitzia loy mede ma'is loy machshava, does not have the ability to break the original ma'isa or even the original machshava. So here, once it was designated for that purpose, the halacha is that it can't be undesignated unless you do something. And thinking is not enough. There's a machlokes paiskim. What does that mean, that a machshava? Is a machshava just what I thought? Or is a machshava only when I expressed my machshava? But a machshava that's not expressed is halachically not enough to be considered a machshava. The chitayme, says the Gemara, but maybe you'll suggest, hani mili kalim d'chshivi. When is there such a halacha that a machshava doesn't have the ability to break something? It's only when you made something into a keli. And as the Ritva explains, a keli is something that's very choshev. And since the keli has on its own some independent significance, if you want to make that lose its status, you could only do so with something strong, with a ma'isa. Av yodis, the tzarech achila minu, as we spoke in our previous year, the whole point of yodis is yodis are only here to help serve the oichel, but they're not independently significant. And therefore, since they're not independently significant, maybe I would suggest that we could suggest that a machshava nasa, it could obtain the status of yodis with a machshava. However, a machshava salka, a machshava could break that status. Ask the Gemara, I'll show you that is correct, incorrect. For tonight, could there's another Mishnah. The Mishnah says in Masechta Uktzin, call yodis oichlin shabossim begoyrin, and we'll see in a moment what begoyrin means, tahiris. They're no longer susceptible to tumah. Rabbi Yossi Matama. And Rabbi Yossi says they're still susceptible to tuma. Says the Gemara, "Bishlam l'mandamama basasun heke irgdon." That the definition of the word basasun means that you just untie the binding shaper. So we can understand from here that just untying did not change the yodis. Maisa always means that you did something to what we're talking about. Just doing something that doesn't affect its own being, it doesn't change it, is not considered a ma'isa. So if we're going to say that the definition of basasun is that you just untied it, so you didn't do anything to the yodis themselves, and yet this Mishnah is telling us that's enough for it to lose its status of being a yad, so we have a good proof that yodis don't need a ma'isa to break the status. Elamandam, according to the opinion, the my basasun, the what is the definition of the word basson. Basson mamish, that you crush them. So what do we see from here? That you have to actually do a physical act in the yodis. And if you don't do a physical act in the yodis, it's not considered that you've accomplished anything. So mayik lamema, so we're back to our question. How can we say that the pshat in the braisa that we began our shiur with today is that yes, they became yodis, but the Rabbanan are going to say, your decision to use this grain for schach, and when you use it for schach, you no longer need the yodis. As we said in our previous year, they don't. Not only don't they serve any purpose, they maybe even get in the way. That should be enough to make it that it's no longer a yad. Here we're seeing that a machshava is not enough. Says the Gemara, Hachinami, the braisa we began the shiur with, will explain, is talking about a case, Shabbos Samamish, where you actually crush them. And since you actually crush them, that's why the Rabbanans say they're no longer considered yodis. But ask the Gemara, if that's the case that the Braises we're speaking about, Yochi my tamad acherim. Ask the Gemara, so why do acherim say that they still have the status of yodis? Answers the Gemara, the Amar Rabbi Yossi, because the acherim agree with the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. The Tanan, the Mishnah teaches us, Rabbi Yossi mitame, he says, that even in the Mishnah we just said, that even if you broke the yodis, they're still considered tamei. Haimai, says the Gemara, why is that a good explanation? Bishlam hasan tamei Rabbi Yossi, there we could understand that even though you crush them, they're still considered yodis, because chazir could have shim belokish. They're usable like Rav Shimon Lakish explained, Domer of Shimon Ben Lakish, Hoyl Ruyus Lahavchim Basar. Straw continues to serve as a handle. It helps us turn over the grain with a pitchfork, which is part of what they used to do when they work with the grain. Elohocho, in the case of the schach, you don't need the yodos. And you did something. You were boss's son. You crushed them. Lamai chazya. Why would anybody suggest that they still have the category of a boss's, of a yodos? Answers the Gemara, they're usable that when somebody takes off the sukkah, they're going to use this grain. And the straw, which is the yodis, will help us use the grain. And therefore, even though maybe for the duration of sukkahs, they're not that usable, but there's going to be after sukkahs. Gufa, says the Gemara, kol yodis ha'oichlin shebosson begoyrin. And as the Mefarshim explain, usually the Gemara does not go say gufa on a halacha that's really not relevant to the sugya we're learning. We're learning the sugyas of schach. Why does the Gemara use the word? Gufa? So the Mefarshim explained, since there is no Gemara on say the taharis, so what happens is that whenever we learn, or often when we learn a sugya that's relevant to taharis, the Gemara will mention this halacha. We'll explain the halacha because we don't have their own mesechs to explain it by. So Gufa says the Gemara, call Yodos Oichlin, Shabbosim Begairin, if you did the basis of the Gairin to Iris, Rabbi Yossi Metama. Ask the Gemara, as we said a moment ago, my Bosson, what's the definition of Bosson? Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Bosson Mamish, you actually crushed them. And Rabbi Loza Omer, Hita Agdon, you untied the bundle. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Rabbi Loza Dome Bosson, Hita Agdon, according to Rabbi Loza that says the definition of Bosson is that you untie them. So we can understand why Rabbi Yossi holds that they're still considered yodos. Hanan matam Rabbi Yossi. That's why we can understand why Rabbi Yossi says they're still considered yodos, because untying them is really not much more than a machshava. You could tie it and untie it and tie it again. And as we're learning, a machshava alone cannot change status once it obtained the status. However, ask the Gemara, that the definition of bossa means that you actually crush them. The question is, am I mitam Rabbi Yossi? What is Rabbi Yossi still consider them tamei? They're crushed. A maisa certainly has the ability to change a status, to which the Gemara answered, as we learned a moment ago, Omram Shimon Balakish, Hoyel Ruiz Lahaifchan Basar. The straw, which is the yodis, still serves a very important purpose, because when we want to turn it over with a pitchfork, the straw being there is very helpful. Says the Gemara, Amar Belazar, Lama nimshla tefilasun tzadikim kasar. Why is the tefillah of tzadikim compared to a pitchfork? Loimelach to teach us, ma asar zeh, mahapach satfuah begayrin mimakal amakam. The pitchfork moves around the grain, around the granary and the threshing floor. After tefillasun shel tzadikim, so too does the tefillah of the tzadikim have the ability of mahapeches datos shel kadosh baruch hu, so to speak, to change the kadosh baruch hu's attitude midas achzorius lemidas rachmanus, from achzorius to rachmanus. So Ksav Sofer explains this Gemara. He says sometimes we see that Hakadosh Baruch Hu in this world runs the world with a midas hadin, and we look at the midas hadin, and we think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, being strict with us. But the truth is that even the Midas HaDin is completely chesed. Because by us having Midas HaDin in this world, we will be able to have Olam Haba. But says the Ksav Sofer, that what Tefillah could accomplish is that the Midas HaDin, which we just explained, says the Ksav Sofer, is really chesed. Even when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing din with us, it's really chesed. But we would like that the chesed should be real chesed. And that's what tefillah has the ability to do. And the Michas Elazar, in his Sefer Divrei Torah, takes this a step further. He says, we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes zeiros, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes decrees, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that runs the world. So how, asked the Michus Elazar, do we know that we just said that through tefillah, we could get HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, to change his mind? So he explains that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he created the world with an understanding that even when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make gzeiros, tefillah has the ability to change the gzeirah. So he says, when you look at a pitchfork, what do you do with a pitchfork? You have the straw and the grain, and you turn it around, and it moves to a certain place, and then it goes back to its original place. So it turns out that it never was meant to be in somewhere else. It was just temporary. Here too, when a HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a gzeira on a person, it was never meant that the person should be in that status forever. If the gzeira accomplishes what it's supposed to accomplish, fantastic. Or we have another way, a better way, through the tefillah of the tzaddikim. When we daven, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is we have the ability to come back to the original plan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the original plan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Michus Elazar says, was always only chesed. And I saw that the Mefarshim explained that we could understand this even on a deeper level. We look at the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world as this Midas Adin and there's Midas Chesed. It's really not to be understood as two separate Midas, but rather it's all the same. For example, we have in our homes electric outlets where we could plug in appliances. You could plug in a heater into your socket, and the heater will give off heat. You could plug in an air conditioner into your socket, and it'll give off cool air. The electricity is all the same. Sometimes you need hot air, and sometimes in the winter, and sometimes you need cold air in the summer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the socket. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of all energy in this world. The difference is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the socket is what type of heat or cool do we need? And that socket, as long as we connect ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's all that's important. The Mashal explains that this pasuk that we say V'yasa Lo Hashem is a pasuk by Yitzchak. Why does the Torah, why do Chazal, the Torah, choose to teach us the power of tefillah by Yitzchak? We know that the first one that was mispalel was Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu was misakin tefillah shachris. So why isn't the concept of tefillah taught by Avram Avinu? So Rashi says that Avram Avinu was represented the midas chesed in the world. So that someone should, like Avram Avinu, should have the ability to change din to chesed, din to rachmim, is not such a big chiddush. But Yitzchak Avinu, says the Mashal, who represents Midas Hadin, that even Yitzchak Avinu, who represents Midas Hadin, should have the ability to change Din to Rachmim, that is a Chiddush. And that's why the Torah chose to teach us this halacha, this concept by Yitzchak Avinu, not specifically by Avram Avinu. Teaches us the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Mesachim ben Nesarim, one may use slats, one may use boards for your sukkah, for schach, divrei Rabbi Yehuda, Ramei Oyser. Ramei says that you may not. And Rashi explains, they used to use these boards for the roof, and therefore, even though technically they should be able to be used for schach, they have all the conditions needed to be able to be used for schach. They grow from the ground, wood, they're not mekabel tumah, because as we spoke in previous shurim, only type of wood that is mekabel tumah is a wood that has base kibul, that has a receptacle. A plain board doesn't have a receptacle. But as we're going to learn, Rameya holds, and that's why Rabbi Yehuda holds, they can be used for schach. Rameya says that they may not be used for schach. Gzeres Tikra, we're concerned that people are going to use their regular roof for schach. So I saw that the Rishonim ask, why does the Mishnah use the word Rameya Oyser, which seems to mean that's only B'l'chatchila, but with the Eved it's fine, where a mayor actually holds that even with the Eved, boards may not be used for schach. So what Tvar says, because Ramey, the Mishnah is using words that correspond with each other. Rabbi Yehuda holds that you can use mesachachin, lechatchila, you could use such board for schach. So Ramey says the opposite, oyser. But really, according to Ramey, one may not use it even b'di'evit. Another pshat is that, indeed, it could be that Ramey agrees, as we just explained, that they should be kosher for schach. But Chazal made a gzeira, and the way we could explain it, because otherwise it would be confusing. Why is it us? Why would it be not acceptable? So that's why Ramey used this type of word. Furthermore, even if you have a sukkah, as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem and Ashir quite extensively, that has on it kosher schach, and it also has the boards, according to Ramey, you may not sleep and eat under that schach. Says the Mishnah, if you have a one spot schach that's not kosher, and the halacha is kshera, the sukkah could still be kosher. However, but you can't sit and eat or sleep under that area. And as the Ran explains, then not only may you not eat under that area, but you may not even sleep. I saw others say that specifically sleep is mentioned. Because by eating, the halacha is that on sukkahs you can eat achilas arai chutz l'sukkah, but you can't sleep even a shinas arai chutz l'sukkah. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav machloikis bin asarim sheish bin arba. The machloikis that we had in our Mishnah are on boards that are four tefachim wide. The Ramey is like zeros tikra. Ramey holds that if I'm going to allow you to use such a board for schach, somebody is going to think that you could use a regular roof. And as we know, we spoke about this previously, the roof that's made for a sukkah, in order for it to be a kosher sukkah, has to be made l'shem tzeil, to give shade for the people that are sitting inside. A regular roof of a home, that isn't the purpose of making the roof. And therefore, Ramey says such boards may not be used for schach. Rav Yehuda less like Zeris Tikra. Avo ben Sarim, Shein ben Arba, according to Rav, if the boards aren't four tefachim wide, Devei Hakel Kshera, everybody, even Ramey, will agree they could be used for schach. B'Shmuel has a very different interpretation of this machlokes. B'Shein ben Arba, when they're not four tefachim wide, says the Gemara, that's where we have a machlokes between Ramey and Rabbi Yehuda. Ramey holds that even when the boards are not that wide, if we're going to allow you to use narrower boards, you may come to use the wider boards. And Rabbi Yehuda holds, we're not that concerned. Nobody usually uses those kind of boards, narrow boards, and we have no reason to make such a gzeira. Avo, yesh behen arba, if they're four tefachim wide, devei hakel psula, everybody will agree that such a sukkah is possible. Amen. So according to this, according to a mayor, even when they're not four tefachim wide, they're still possible. Says the Gemara, how do we understand that opinion of Rameya? Ein ben arba, does that mean even when they're not four tefachim, even if they're less than three tefachim, they're still going to be disqualified? Why? Hakana ba'alma, ninu. They're regular, narrow, skinny pieces of wood. How could somebody suggest that they're not considered a valid sukkah? Amra papa. So papa says, hachikama. Yesh ben arba, this is the way to understand Shmuel's opinion. When they're four tefachim wide, the Rehakel Psul, everybody will agree that disqualify for schach. Pachs Mishloisha, if they're narrower than three tefachim, the Rehakel Kshera, everybody will agree that they're kosher. My Tama, Kana Ba'almaninu. As we said a moment ago, they're just narrow poles, which are perfectly fine for sukkahs, for schach. Ki Pligi, where is the Machloikas Mishloisha Va'ad Ba'ara? When the boards are between three and four tefachim wide. Masav kivin the less nushim makom, since Ramat Yehuda holds, since they don't have a significant identity, the less than four tefachim wide loygas rinan, there's no reason to say that they're not kosher to be used for schach. Or masover Rameya holds kivin the nafkalim b'taris lovet, since they're wider than three tefachim, That's why once they're wider than three tefachim, and the concept of loved, which always shows us how really insignificant three tefachim are, that's why we have to be machmer. That's why we have to be machmer. So I saw that Avni Nezer asks a question. The Gemara is saying, of course, if it's less than three tefachim, they should be kosher. Otherwise, what will I use for schach? So says the Avni Nezer, we don't have to use wood for schach. We can use straw and say, or boards maybe are indeed usur. So the Avni Nezer says that what the Gemara means to say is there is no reason to be machmer on a board that's less than three tefachim wide. Tanan, ask the Gemara on Rav's opinion. We learned in our Mishnah, Nasan ala nasa shurach of arba tefachim, if you put a board that's four tefachim wide, kshera. Why is it kosher? Because as we've mentioned in previous shurim, there's a concept of doifin akuma. If you have between the wall of your sukkah and the schach of your sukkah, four amis of a covering which is not usable as schach, your sukkah is still a kosher sukkah. Because we say the concept of doifin akuma, halacha l'maish m'sinai, that moves that wall over to the schach. As long as b'vat shalai yishin tachtav, you can't sleep under that space that has the non-kosher schach. So says the Gemara, b'shalom l'man shmul d'amah b'ein arba machloikis, the machloikis remain of Yehuda is only when there isn't four tefachim wide. Aval yesh ben arba. If it's four tefachim wide, the Reakel Psula, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that it may not be used for schach. Mishemach lo yishin tachtav. That's why our Mishnah says that if you have such a wide board, everybody will agree that you can't sleep under it. It's not kosher schach. El Rav Dami yesh ben arba machloikis. That when it's four tefachim wide, that's when we have a machlokes. Aval ein ba'arba d'vrakol k'sheira, Rabbi Yehuda may lo yishin tachtav. Why can't you sleep under such an area? It's kosher schach. Mi savet, answers the Gemara, that the last statement made in the Mishnah, mi savet d'vrakol hi, you don't say that it represents both the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. It's, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not a problem. Because Rabbi Yehuda doesn't have a problem, even with wide boards, to be used in your sukkah. It's only representing the opinion of Rav Meir. So the Gemara asks another question on the opinion of Rav. Tashma, shnei sadinim. Sadinim are pieces of material, which obviously may not be used for schach. Each piece of material doesn't have four tefachim. However, you have two pieces of material next to each other, and when you combine these two pieces of material, you now have four tefachim of material that can't be used at tzrach. The loch is mitzarfim, they combine. Shnei nesorim, but if you have two boards next to each other that don't have each one of them four tefachim, a mitzarfim, they don't combine. Remei oimer, af nesorim kesadinim, that boards are treated like pieces of material. And the Gemara analyzes and asks from this braisa. Bishlam al shmul d'amma b'sh'ein behen arba machlokes. According to Shmuel, that says that when there aren't four tefachim, that's when we have a machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rameya. Rabbi Yehuda is going to say it's fine to be used for schach, that board. And Rameya says not. Aval yesh ben arba. But once they have a width of four tefachim, even Rabbi Yehuda is going to agree, the Reakel Psula, that it can't be used for schach. My mitzdarfin. So we can understand what the Bryce is trying to teach us. Can two boards that each themselves don't have four tefachim be mitzdarfim to the shear of arba tefachim to be considered posel? El Rav. But according to Rabbi Yesh ben Arba Machlokes, the Machlokes is only when the board is four tefachim wide. Aval ein bahan arba, if the board is not four tefachim wide, according to Rav Divrakel Kshayer, both Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda are going to agree that we have a kosher sukkah. Hey chidami, so now let's understand this braisa. It is by arba, if this board is four tefachim wide, lama it's terufi. According to Rav Meir, that is independently a problematic schach. Vidales by arba, and if it doesn't have four tefachim width, amai. Why would Rav Meir say that they could combine? For kanab almahu, if it doesn't have four tefachim, according to Rav, according to Yehuda, and even according to Rav Meir, it's perfectly fine tzchach. So why is there a consideration that it should combine with the board next to it and disqualify your sukkah? Answers the Gemara. How will Rav understand this braisa? Lailam the Ispa Arba. The Gemara, the board has four tefachim. And my mitzdarfim. So what's the word mitzdarfim have to be? Once it's four tefachim, and if the Bryce is following the opinion of Rameyah, that a board that's four tefachim is possible, so why do I need it to combine with anything else? And says the Gemara, what we're learning, what the Bryce means to say is, mitzdarfim l'arba amas min atzad. When we talk about the number four could be speaking about four tefachim, and it could be speaking about four amas. A board that's four tefachim wide, even according to a mayor, is certainly not kosher for schach. But if you have that type of a board on the side of your sukkah, between the schach and the wall, even though it's four tefachim wide, and a board that's four tefachim wide may certainly not be used as schach, your sukkah could still be a kosher sukkah, because we could rely on the concept of doifen akuma. And doifen akuma says that we could have up to four amos, not tefachim, four amos of posel schach between your schach and the wall, and your sukkah could be kosher, but only up to four amos. So what this braisa says is, if you have boards that are four tefachim wide, and you have these boards next to each other, and they combine to be more than four amos, they combine to say that we can no longer apply doifen akuma in the sukkah. Lishnachrina, but the Gemara gives a different version how to use this braisa that we just learned as a proof to Shmuel's opinion. Bishlam et l'shmud am b'sh'ein ben arba machloikus. According to Shmuel, that even when they're not four tefachim wide, when they're between three and four tefachim wide, we have the machlokes of Rabbi Yehuda Arameya. Avo yesh ben arba. But when they're four tefachim wide, divrei hakel psula. Even Rabbi Yehuda, according to Shmuel, will agree that you can't use such a board for schach. My mitzdarfin will understand the word mitzdarfin in the braisa la'arba amos min atzad. That do I have four amos of posel schach to prevent me from being able to say doifen akuma? El Rav, but according to Rav Bishlam Rameya, we can understand mitzdarfin, because according to Rameya, according to Rav, once you have a board that's four tefachim wide, it's posel schach, and now we could start counting if we have four amos of such schach that I can't be able to say doifen akuma. My mitzdarfin l'arba amos min atzad. El Rav Yehuda, but according to Rav Yehuda, that holds that filu Yesh ben Arba, that even if they're four tefachim wide, Rabbi Yehuda according to Rav holds that all boards are kosher. My mitzdarfin, what does the braisa mean? Mitzdarfin, kana ba'almaninu, the perfectly fine schach. Answers the Gemara. So why would Rabbi Yehuda say ein mitzdarfin? There's no concept of mitzdarfin for apostle. It's perfectly fine schach. Answers the Gemara, I did the come Ramei mitzdarfin. Since Ramei used the word mitzdarfin, that's why Rabbi Yehuda used the word a mitzdarfin, even though it really doesn't have significant halachic meaning to him. Says the Gemara, Tanya Kavasi the Rav, Tanya Kavasi the Shmuel. There's a braisa that supports Rav's opinion, and there's a braisa that supports Shmuel's opinion. Tanya Kavasi the Rav, Sichcha ben Asarim shal Eretz. If somebody used boards of Eretz for your srach, Eben Arba. If they're not four tefachim wide, they're akol ksheira. Everybody, Ramei, Rabbi Yehuda will hold that it's kosher schach. Yesh ben arba, if they're four tefachim wide, Ramei apostle, Rabbi Yehuda machshir. So we clearly have support to Rav's interpretation of the machloikus of Ramei Rabbi Yehuda. I'm Rabbi Yehuda, says the Gemara, Maisa b'shas skana. There was a shas skana, Shavi and Asarim Shayim ben arba. They brought boards that were four tefachim wide, v'sichanu agabim mispeses, and we used them on top of our porch, that it shouldn't be so obvious that we're sitting in a sukkah. The Nochrim had made a decree that we may not sit in a sukkah, so they wanted to do it in a surreptitious manner, that it shouldn't be obvious that we're sitting in a sukkah. V'yishavnu tachteim, and we see that you could use boards even four tefachim wide. Amaloi, Shacham said, misham raya. You want to use that as a raya? Ain shas kana raya. The shas kana is not a raya. So of course, the obvious question when we learn this Gemara is, what's the havimina that it should be a raya? We all understand that it's a shas kana. So the Pnei Yeshua explains what the Yehuda was saying was that yes, we had to build a sukkah in a way that it wasn't obvious that we were building a sukkah, and we brought boards. But why do we have to bring such wide boards? We could have brought narrow boards. The fact that they brought Y boards is a raya that it's not a problem, and that's what his raya, to which he said, no, it was a shas sakana to Klal Yisrael, and since it was a shas sakana, the halacha is, they did whatever they needed to do. But I saw that the Ritva and the Prima Gadim and the Aruch HaNes say that really, when the boards that are too wide, even though the psul, as we're learning, the disqualification we're learning is only a disqualification with the Rabbanon, you can't be yotze the sukkah. And the Aruch HaNes explains that the only reason they were allowed to sit in that sukkah is because they were worried about shlo tishtakech Torah sukkah miYisrael. They really weren't fulfilling the mitzvah sukkah. The only reason that they were allowed to sit in such a sukkah, even though it was halachically incorrect, was because there was no other option, and they were afraid that if they won't allow them to sit in such a sukkah, people will start forgetting all about what sukkahs is about. And because of that, they allowed them to sit in such a sukkah. But really, since this, according to a mayor, or maybe even according to Rabbi Yehuda, according to Shmuel, is a disqualified sukkah, it doesn't make a it's not kosher to be sat in, even with the Evet. Tanya Kavasa de Shmuel, Sikh ben Sarm Shmuel Shalaris, but now we see a proof to Shmuel's interpretation. If you used wood boards for Yischach, Yesh ben Roich, Yesh ben Arba, if it's four tfachim, why, Divri Hakol, everybody will agree, Psula. Ein ben Arba, if it's not four tefachim wide, Ramei says you can't use it, Rav Yehuda Machsha. So we see clearly that once it's four tefachim wide, you can't use it. But, says the Gemara, even though, as we've been learning in our shir, Reb Meir is obviously much stricter when it comes to Nesarim, to boards being used for sukkahs, says Gemara, says the Braisa, if as you build your sukkah, you have between each board as empty space equal to the width of the board, you could put in that those empty spaces kosher schach and kshera. And then you'll have a kosher schach. Because what's going to end up happening in such a sukkah, if you start with the boards, and then you put kosher schach in between, you're going to have in the middle of your sukkah, your total sukkah will be 48 tefachim wide, and the middle you'll have 8 tefachim. You'll have 8 tefachim of a kosher schach, and in the sides you'll have less than 4 amos of problematic area. But when you have less than 4 amos on the side of problematic area, we'll say doifin akuma. Says the Gemara, Ma'ir Yehuda, Shemnasan la Nesa Shirachav Arba Tefachim, that if you put a board that is 4 Tefachim wide on the Sukkah, Kshera, then if on the side, you could sit in that Sukkah, you will on relying on Daif and Akuma. However, Ve'en Yishenim Tachtov, you can't sleep under that Daif and Akuma, Ve'yoshin Tachtov, sleeping under the area that you're relying should be Daif and Akuma, is Layot Yudei Chavasan. Itma, continues the Gemara. If you started with these boards that are too wide when they're laid flat, but when you put it on the side, they're not so wide. Itma, hapchal tzedegim. You turned it over on the side, and it's not so wide anymore. Rav Huna mapsula, Rav Chizda v'Rava Rav Huna makshera. Says the Gemara, we have a machlokes if they're possible or not. And says the Gemara, ikla Rav Nachman l'sura, Ola Gaber Rav Chizda Rabbi Rav Huna. Rav Chizda and Rabbi Rav Huna came to visit him. Amrilei, Hopchal Tzedei Mahu, these boards that are too wide, if you turn them over on the sides, what would be the halacha? Amlu, Rav Nachman said, Pasul. He said, because once the boards are too wide, they become inherently disqualified. Nasa Keshvun Shel Matchis, they're treated like metal boards. Now, a metal pole, there's no way in the world that a metal pole could be used for schach. Once the board is too wide, it becomes inherently disqualified and therefore can never be used, even if you don't use it on the wide side. Amar Rav Huna. So Rav Huna heard when Rav Huna heard what Rav Nachman said to Rav Chizda and Rabbi Rav Huna. Rav Huna said to them, "Lo amar lechu amri kavasei? Did I not tell you that he would say as I do. Rav Huna obviously told them that Rabbi Nachman would agree with him. Did you explain what you said? Had you explained what you said, we would have been very satisfied to accept your psak. Did you ask me for an explanation? In other words, the explanation is as we gave. Rav Huna didn't think it was necessary to give the application, the explanation, for he felt it was obvious. And he told them, had you asked, you didn't understand it on yourself, by yourself, I would have certainly given it to you. Lema Masayle, and the Gemara wants to bring a proof for the opinion of Rav Huna. If you have a sukkah that isn't big enough for Rosh Ruv Shulchanai, which we've learned from the beginning in the Masechta, the minimum size of your sukkah, Zayin Tfachim al Zayin Tfachim. But there's an opening on one of the walls of your sukkah that a young goat could run through. Or you put on top of your sukkah a board that's 4 tefachim wide, even though it only enters into the sukkah for 3 tefachim psula. Says the Gemara, what is the case that a 4 tefachim board that we're talking about? If it's 4 tefachim, how does it cover only 3 tefachim? It must be, suggests the Gemara, lafka gansha afchan tzadeim, that the board is 4 tefachim wide, but when you turn it over on its side, it's only 3 tefachim, and the Bryce is telling us that since it's a 4 tefachim wide board, it's possible. Says the Gemara, loy, hochma iskinen, ki goin de ancha pumendam talalta. You put it in the front of your sukkah, and you use only 3 of the 4 tefachim of this board to cover your sukkah. The ayil tosel gav, the apachad levad. 3 tefachim of the board cover the actual sukkah, and 1 tefach is extending past the sukkah, which is a case of pesal yoytzim in a sukkah. This is an extension of the sukkah, and the loch is called pesal yoytzim in a sukkah nidin kasukkah. This is a sugya that a mitzvah shem we're going to learn, but the upshot of the sugya is that even though the sukkah, this is not a kosher sukkah, since it's an extension of the sukkah, it's considered kosher. And it goes both ways. We've used the concept, and we will use the concept of pesel ayotzim in a sukkah to make the sukkah kosher. But here we're using the concept of pesel ayotzim in a sukkah to declare the sukkah as a non-kosher sukkah. However, points out the Ritva, that will only be the case, this will only be the case, as we're learning in our Gemara, where most of the schach, most of this board is inside the sukkah, and part of it, the minority, is extending past the sukkah. But if it's not that way, the halacha is, if it would be not the majority of this inside the sukkah, then we would not apply the concept of pesel yotzim in a sukkah. As we conclude our shir, the Tzitz Eliezer, in the Shas Tshuva Tzitz Eliezer, Chelik Tezvov, Simen Chav Ches, discusses the halacha, if you could use boards, slats, 2x4s to make a sukkah, to make schach on your sukkah. So he says, since bizman hazeh, people don't make roofs out of these types of slats. And moreover, even if we're going to put the slats next to each other, there's a concern that rain won't be able to come in. That's in those days. But nowadays, if you would put the slats next to each other and a heavy rain comes down, the rain will penetrate. He says that l'chatchila, one should be careful not to use slats that are wider than a tefach. And we should also be careful to keep them not that tight next to each other, that rain should be able to penetrate, or as we discussed in a previous year, that you should be able to see the stars through those slats. If that's the case, even though they're slats, the halacha is that you could use those slats for schach.